Hear now these words that come to us from the New Testament book of Ephesians, beginning in the 6th chapter with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, O God, we look to you. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you would give us comfort and rest. Rest from the activities, O God, of everyday life and living. Those things pass, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. An individual who served on a committee probably similar to the Board of Ordained Ministries that was evaluating clergy as they were coming in for ordination has these few words. They say the words of one middle-aged candidate stuck in my mind. The candidate said, I've always been the type of person who likes to have all the bases covered. When I was looking for a college, I said to myself, if I can't get into this one, well, I can get into this one. Later on, I told myself, well, if this career doesn't work out, I can always fall back on this career. Because I want you to know how serious I am about ministry, I'm going to make a confession. The candidate said, for the first time in my life, I do not have any other options in mind. I'm so certain that God wants me to be a minister that I have no plan B. Now, in today's reading from John's Gospel, Peter speaks in the same spirit as that candidate for ministry. As the crowd drifts away, Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks them if they intend to depart to leave also. I mean, surely those 12 disciples faced that question as well. What if Jesus turns out not to be the Messiah? Surely they wondered the risk of following this religious rebel. Maybe they should leave Jesus after all and go back to, well, go back to what? To their fishing nets? Well, they could do that, and sometimes they did. That position, though, would feed their bellies. But what would it do for their souls and their spirits? They could go back to the synagogues, make themselves content with some other rabbi. But after having sat at the feet of Jesus, that might be a little difficult. They could go back to their families, and we're sure that the disciples loved their families, of course, but without that presence of Jesus Christ and his spiritual training, everything just seems to be a little bit hollow. Indeed, without Jesus Christ, life scarcely seems worth living. Without Jesus, nothing seems to be enough. Not even the revolutionary politics of the zealots that were active during Jesus' time, not even the wealth of the tax collectors, not even the inspiring worship of the temples, not even the comforts of honest work and labor and one's family. And so those 12 decided to stay with Jesus. Having committed so much to him, they had no plan B. Matter of fact, Peter, speaking perhaps on behalf of all the disciples, said, "Well, Lord, to whom could we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." But how can we know who Jesus is? You see, we can take what theologians call the leap of faith. Christian commitment grows out of beliefs and experiences, not necessarily just facts. It's as risky as a leap in the dark because we might get it wrong. Our faith might be groundless. No wonder the crowds left. We might risk everything on Jesus Christ and then discover that he's not who he claims to be. I remember in the first apartment that Leanna and I lived in right after we were married, one of the neighbor guys, Randy, would come over every once in a while and say, "Oh, David, I had my hour of devotional time. I did the rosary. I prayed to Jesus. I prayed to Buddha. I've done some other thing." And he went through about 6 or 8 different world religions that he had gone through. And I said, "Randy, why are you doing all that?" He said, "I got to cover all the bases, David. I just got to cover all the bases." Pick one. "But which one do I pick?" Well, let me tell you. You see, as Christians, we must take that leap of faith. make that wild, blind leap. As disciples, we must, as the saying goes, put all of our eggs in one basket. We do not hedge our bets. We do not cover all the bases. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we don't have a plan B. We lay everything on the line with Jesus Christ. Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor. Looking at John's gospel reading in Ephesians, we are reminded of that saying that someone made famous, kind of about walking the talk and talking the walk. It's been the discussion in the scriptures for today. Will it be walked, or will we turn away from it? See, living one's life as a Christian is indeed serious business. It's a serious struggle, comparable in the book of Ephesians as waging warfare. The imagery of Ephesians is bold and powerful. The Christian is portrayed as putting on the gear of warfare worn by soldiers. The image of a soldier is commonplace in days gone by for us, but that image was oh so powerful for those first century Christians. The images, though, were not only drawn from common everyday experience, they were also firmly and deeply entrenched in the Old Testament, where God is similarly clothed. I got the word this time. You see, closely associated with the image of Yahweh, of God, is the divine warrior. And so given this background, we can take quite literally the statement, put on the whole armor of God. We are asked to put on the very armor that God wears. What's striking about these individual pieces of armor is that they symbolize the qualities of God. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, God's words. And the challenge for us then is that we are to embody these realities, these attributes that God uses to achieve the divine purpose within the world. God has offered to each and every one of us an incredibly extreme power, a God-given power. It's always interesting, at least your first couple months in a new congregation, to stand and look out over those that have come for worship. Oh, I remember that family. That face is familiar. Don't remember them before. Oh, I think I met them in the store. Perhaps they look familiar because I saw them in the church directory as I was looking through it. So today, as I look out and see many, many familiar faces, I can say this. You are a member of a church. Then at some point in time, I can almost guarantee that part of the membership vows of that particular church or denomination or faith, you publicly professed your belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And at that moment then, were marked as a Christian. And so I can say that we are all being challenged by God to suit up. Called to live a life that is firmly grounded in the truth. not only in the truth of Jesus Christ, but also of being truthful in everything that we do and say. We're called to live a life that is righteous, a life that is based upon the teachings and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, to be holy, a living and loving example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the world. We are called to live a life that is filled with peace. Someone said to me after the first service, "Holy smokes, David, with all that military stuff, I feel like I need to go out and punch somebody." We're called to live a life of peace. Almighty God has offered to us and given to us that peace that passes our understanding. To live in peace, to push for peace in all of our surroundings and our places of work and play within the world, and to sow those seeds of peace as well. We are to have faith. Faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Almighty God, to have our feet firmly planted in the soils of faith that become rooted firmly within the scriptures and the teachings, so that no matter what the world, society comes our way, we know that we are deeply rooted in the power and the presence of Almighty God, and that we are not going to cave in nor get washed away. A faith that allows us to believe in the shadow of doubt that God is near and caring for us and cradling each and every one of us in loving and caring arms. See, from the moment that we have said yes to the grace, the forgiveness, and the power of Jesus Christ, we then have experienced salvation. Life is never the same from that point on. We're called to share in this joy of our salvation with those around us, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, hold true to the Word of God, and use the Word of God as our teacher and example for the living and the ordering of our daily lives within this world. The armor of God, the suit of God, is waiting for each and every one of us to claim and to put on. As we then are sent forth out into the world to be the light of Christ, to live and to share his good news. Let us pray. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. For these teachings within John's Gospel and the letter to the Ephesians. O God, all that we are and all that we have, we pray that we will continually rely upon you and all of those things that you offer to us, that we might have the tools to be equipped for our daily lives and living. Send us forth into the world, O God, that we might be your church, your disciples, living and sharing and proclaiming this good news. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.